Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Now I want to turn your attention to the Word of God. If you would go with me, I am going to read two passages of Scripture. The first is going to be in Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. Daniel 7, 18. And then we're going to jump to the book of Romans 8 and 19. First, Daniel 7, 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And I know another translation may read something a little bit different. Amen. Praise God. And so Daniel 7, 18. Now I want to go to Romans 8, 19. Romans 8, 19. And it reads, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Pastor Walden, would you please lift up your voice and pray? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise God. I want to welcome all of you, and I want to welcome if there are any visitors here. Amen. If this is your first time, don't let it be your last time. This is an amazing church. God is doing a great work. He's bringing souls in. In fact, when I got back to the hotel last night from dinner, the front receptionist in the hotel lobby there, it was interesting. God just opened up a door, and we spoke for about an hour. And God is doing something in her heart. She was so excited. She had an engagement today. I didn't even invite her to church. She asked me if I could come. And I said, sure. She said, well, I have an engagement today at 11. She was going to take someone somewhere. But she said, I'm planning on coming to this church. Her name is Reese. Amen. So get ready. God is bringing souls in. I don't have time. Praise God. Let's thank him for that. I don't have time to go into details, but oftentimes, and I'm sure God does that with you as you outreach, we're all called to be witnesses. I'll meet people. Some people I'll see in dreams, and I'll know their names, and I'll meet them later on in life, and they come to church and they are saved. And it is just amazing. And I know the hand of God is on that young lady, and God wants to save her. And so she's one of the ones that I believe. I don't know when, where, how, but God is going to save her. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But today I want to entitle this message, The Sons of God. The sons of God. I want you to look at someone next to you and tell them, I'm not only a child of God, but I am a son of God. And that may seem a little bit ironic and humorous, especially if you're a female. But after I go through the scripture text, you will have a little bit understanding, because this applies to females too. Because this verse of scripture, just where it says oftentimes it may say he, you know, it also means she. It all depends in what context that you're reading it in. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm not talking about gender here, but it's a spiritual status or position. So when I say sons of God, I'm not speaking in the context of male and female, so I won't keep repeating myself in that way. But a few years ago, as I was asleep, I was waking up one morning, and sometimes God will do that. It's almost like we know he's our heavenly father, and we should have a relationship with him like a loving father, that we could go to him with anything, and he could come to us. And that morning, it seemed as though the Lord was just waiting for me to get up to share something with me. And as soon as I opened my eyes, he spoke to me in a small, still voice. And he said, it's time for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. And so that got my attention. I got up and I started studying the word of God. I knew that meant something that was just not ordinary. It was taking it to another level, because when you truly are a son of God, there's a certain dominion, power, and authority. There is a certain level that you are aspiring to in the kingdom to make a difference. Amen. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That applies to all of us. Amen. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Are you led by the Spirit? Well, the Bible says they are the sons of God. But in this generation, we are destined to reach that point as many come forth. Now, we're children of God. If you're born again of the Word and Spirit, amen, serving him, you're a child of God, amen. We're children of God, but God wants us to become sons of God, to evolve to that point, amen, that we can have access to everything that he desires to give us in his kingdom. Amen. Now, Romans 8:16 shows that we are children of God. Children of God are descendants of a father. They have an ancestry. They are ancestors of God. But we need to be in a journey. And I heard Sister Sade, and I know some call her Sade, how your mom calls you. And so I'm trying to still pronounce Sade, talk about the fullness. Well, when we aspire on the journey to become sons of God, we're stepping into the fullness, amen, of that inheritance. And that's where God wants us to be, that we can see the fullness of his glory. Now, initially, it's important to be born again and to serve God. Why? If you haven't had that experience today, amen, you may be a visitor, or you may have come for a few times and you're still learning. Amen. Why? Because number one, it helps you to live an overcoming life in this temporal life on earth. And number two, well, actually, this is the most important reason, it's a prerequisite to heaven. Romans 8:9 says, it talks about, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So we see in John 3:5, it says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And we see in Acts 2:38 and 39, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. Being born of the Spirit is when the Spirit comes on the inside of you, and he'll give you a heavenly language that you cannot control. That is being born of the Spirit. Being born of the water is when you're baptized in the only saving name. The Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. So at any time today, you're welcome to reach out to God and to receive his Spirit. And of course, to receive it, we repent, we surrender, and lay everything at his feet, and we become a candidate to receive the Spirit of God. You can be baptized in his name. Some people receive it as they are baptized. You can have all of your sins washed away calling on the name of the Lord. It could be a new beginning. Tomorrow is not promised unto us. And so God is reaching. He loves us. And that's a level of conversion, of new birth, becoming a child of God. So I am talking to all of us that here are those who have had that experience. You're a child of God in that sense, but it's not over with. We're evolving into sons of God. We're going higher and higher and higher in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so you were born of God, and to become sons of God is to have the spiritual DNA of God. We as children of are children of God, but when we mature into sons of God, and of course the daughter's sons, like I said, a female or male sons of God, it represents that maturity. And so in reality, we are becoming heirs and joint heirs, and we're going to heavenly places. God wants us to realize who we are in him to be most effective. Now, I would like a volunteer. Sometimes when I speak, I'm a little bit demonstrative because statistics show that you retain a lot more of what you see as opposed to what you hear. So in this case, I want a volunteer. I want a young person. Okay, wow, you're ready to go. Come on up here, honey. I want you to stand right here in the middle. She was ready to go. I like that. I want you to hold this up and face the audience. Stretch it out. Okay. Okay. So what is that?
A $50 bill. It's a $50 bill.
What did you buy with that $50 bill? Think of it.
Art supplies.
Wow, that's good. Okay, there's creativity there. And it seems like that would be something to put to good use. I heard other people comment and all kinds of stuff. Wow, so okay, so some folks probably need some money right about now. And so I want to give an illustration. It's hard to be effective when you don't realize who you are. The devil has lied to some of us because of our backgrounds, our upbringings, our struggles, and he tries to make you feel like you are worthless and you have no value. But I want to share with you, my background is in chemistry. I graduated from LSU, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Go Tigers! Anyway, so... And so in science, I still like to look and up things and research. And do you realize that scientific evidence confirms that the human value of the natural body is worth about $1? I'm talking about the natural components. Like if you took a container and put all of your flesh, the minerals, we're mainly composed of water anyway. We learned that in grade school. But if you put all those physical components in a container, it's worth about $1. Now, I want you to take that $50 bill that has all that value. I want you to kind of crumple it up. Not too bad. We don't want to destroy it. Yeah, kind of ball it up. Throw it on the ground. Tossed it down. Okay, when you still keep it by you, oh my, she threw it way out. But if you could just put it like right in front of you to continue my, there's money raining from heaven. Praise God. You might not get it back, sister. Okay, now step on it. Don't destroy it, but step on it. Kind of step a little bit harder. My, ouch. Now I want you to pick it up and pull it out. She says she could buy art supplies with that. A lot of times in life, we feel like we've been stepped on. We've been abused by other people. We've been through situations. But guess what? Even though that bill has been thrown and stepped on, it still has value. And she could go out and buy art supplies with that same value before it was even stepped on. God wants you to realize who you are in Him. You still have value despite the circumstances in life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give her, what's your name, honey?
Isabel.
Let's give Isabel a hand of applause. Didn't she do great? And guess what, honey? Go ahead and buy your art supplies. Some of you young people say, I should have ran up here. There you go. She was willing and ready right away. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so tell someone next to you, you have value. So the human body is worth, at least physically, a dollar. Someone needs to go and tell the rapper who calls himself 50 Cent he's worth at least a dollar. The world has lied to us, praise God. The devil has lied to us. And even yourself, with those who battle with low self-esteem, the devil is a liar. You have value. You are a child of Christ. You're evolving into sons of God. So you must realize that before you can realize the value of the power of God on the inside of you. In fact, my husband, before he got in church and before we got married, was in the entertainment industry. He knew people like Michael Jackson and Prince, and they would set up shows, and he was quite wealthy. He owned more than one residence, so he met all of those people. And he, of course, was involved with the drug and alcohol scene. How many of you are in here? But the Bible says, for such were some of us, but God has delivered us. Praise God. And he said he'll never forget it. Someone witnessed to him and invited him to an apostolic church. And God began to do a work. Praise God. God saved him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and his life transformed. He said, I'll never forget it. In one of my homes, I had this big, huge bar area. And I remember the Lord told me to pour out all the alcohol, quite expensive wines and things. And he literally said, I felt a spirit leave the house. And some of you might be in bondage, still battling with some type of addiction. It might not be drugs or alcohol, but it might be a habit. It might be something that has you bound on the internet that no one knows about. He is a delivering God. And my husband, even though he had met people like Michael Jackson and Prince, honey, when he got conversion, there was no one greater and higher than the Prince of Peace. God wants you to meet that Prince of Peace today. Amen. Hallelujah. You have value. And it's exactly what Bishop Henry said on Friday night. He was on target. We are in a battle. We are in a warfare. I mean, we are fighting things that we have never felt before. Why? It is because we are in the end time, and the enemy is upset because he knows his time is short. It is the worst of times, but in a sense, Pastor, it's the best of times. Why? Because it's drawing people to Christ. There is no other place or house of refuge than the church of God, than to be among the people of God. There is nothing out there that can help you. Amen. Evil will wax worse and worse, but the church will wax greater and greater. Amen. And so the two are maturing together for one final conflict on the earth in this end time. And the devil will fight you inside the church, outside the church. There are some of us who have been hurt in the world. There are some of us who's been hurt in the church. Amen. And we deal with wounds in our body. Some of them are still visible and exposed. Some of them are still kind of hidden under a scar. And then they fester up again. Church hurt. Even David went through things when he said, I went to the sanctuary. It was those, he said, even that were in the house of God. But what God wants us to continue to do is not look to the left or to the right. We are not serving people. We are serving him. Keep our eyes on him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're human. We make mistakes, intentionally or not. And when I realize someone does something to hurt or to offend me, you might point a finger at them, but you got three or four with a thumb pointing back at you. That mercy and grace and compassion should be extended, because such were some of us. We have battles. We struggle. We have shortcomings. But the mercy and the grace of God. God is love. Love will cover a multitude of sin. When you don't forgive, it locks you in a prison. Praise God. And God wants us to shake ourselves and to free ourselves from everything. And let him pour in the oil, which is the spirit, and the wine to heal us of any wounds that we may have. Praise God. He wants us to allow him to be our heavenly father. Think of what Joseph went through. His brothers threw him in a pit. But Joseph had the right attitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude in God. And I've noticed there are many in the Bible and those in the church and even in my life, whether you go through hardships, persecutions, mistreatments, whether you're right or wrong in the church, out of the church, whatever kind of hurt it is, I have observed if you have the right attitude, might be for months or for years, there is going to come a point that God's going to honor that and exalt you, and he's going to extend his grace to you and give you things that you don't deserve. Why? Because he can trust you. You had the right attitude with your sister and your brother. That is God, unconditional love, and the unconditional love that God wants us to have. It's like the four types of soil. When the seed falls, the word of God, and you need to be the good ground. Don't be the stony ground or the rocky ground or be like the wayside ground. Praise God, or the grounds with the thorns or the hard ground. Why? Because that seed, it's not taking root of love and forgiveness. And that's why some leave the church. You know, statistically, the number one reason, and I'm all into this, and I mean, I got other things to say, but I'm stuck here for some reason. Statistics show the number one reason why people leave the church is because they are offended. Because of offenses. And God wants us to love. When he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And after that death burial, there was a great resurrection. Honey, you may feel that you have been buried, praise God, and stepped on in church, out of church. If God is looking for the right attitude, even the devil has tried to bury you, but he did not know you were a seed. And what happens when you bury a seed, honey? It begins to grow, and sprout up and produce fruit. It's all in having the right attitude. He who obeys himself shall be exalted. Praise God. Now I need to move on. I could just stay in this area right here, but I need to move on. Praise God. There's even a scripture in the Bible. It talks about Leah. where it says that she was hated. Remember Jacob and Rachel, Leah. But the Bible says Leah was hated and God opened her womb. When you feel like you're hated, where's by the even as by the world or someone who's struggling in church, who's backslidden in the church, backslidden out the church because of things are going on and there's mistreatment or there's some things that's not right, praise God, and you feel a lack of love, and I don't want to use a word so strong as hate, but the Bible says she was hated. And because when you endure suffering, when you go through the fire, there's a reward. God is equipping you. He will pour out a greater measure of grace and anointing and power because of that. And the Bible says she was hated and God opened her womb. Honey, if you have the right attitude and you feel that there is injustice, something said, something done, God's going to open your womb. He's going to make you fruitful. He's going to bless you. It could be in a home. It could be in a marriage. Whatever situation. Just wait. I don't know when or how long, honey, but you never go wrong by doing right. Let's give God a hand of applause for that. You could be having marital problems. You could be back and forth. Your spouse. This is a little bit comical. One man said of his wife, "My wife dresses to kill, but she cooks that way too." Problems could be so bad. I heard this. Daddy, a little boy asked his father, "How much does it cost to get married?" He said, "I don't know, son. I'm still paying for it." The men better not say amen. I'd be in trouble. My husband is in law enforcement. He pastored for many years and did that. Now he's a supervisor. Once a police recruit was asked during the exam, "What would you do if you had to arrest your own wife?" The police recruit answered, "I'd call for backup." Man, you ever been in trouble? Marital problems can be so bad. For the married folks here, a note of humor. I was picking on the singles yesterday. A recent study shows that men who are married live longer than single men, but they're a lot more willing to die. Can be that bad. Okay, there's a comeback coming. Women will get a kick out of this. How did God make you so beautiful? And so stupid at the same time, a frustrated husband asked his wife. Her reply to him was, "He made me beautiful so you would marry me, and he made me stupid so I would marry you." But anyway, it could be so bad. I literally have a younger sister. Her and her husband were divorced for 3 years. They were backslidden, out of the church, the whole family, all three kids. But prayer, the power of prayer, God can bring a marriage back together. There's some healing that he's doing now in marriages. There's some healings that he's doing in relationship. And after prayer, all of a sudden, God got a hold of her. She got back in the church. We begin to pray. God got a hold of her ex-husband. Next thing we knew, he comes back to church. God got a hold of them. All of a sudden, God began to heal, and they got remarried. And all the kids came back in church. My younger sister, at that time, she became the prayer coordinator of the church. Her husband became the usher. And all the kids were praise singing. You can't tell me God can't do a work. God's reaching families now. You've been praying for your children. You've been praying for your loved one. God can turn things around. I feel it in the spirit. We're going to shake ourselves a little bit. I'm not done yet. I have plenty more time, but I want you to stand up and say right now, think of the situation that's going on, and I want you to turn around and say, God is turning it around. Praise God. God's doing a 360 right now. God's going to turn that situation around. Some of you are turning plenty times because God is turning plenty situations around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's thank him for that. And I literally felt the Holy Ghost, Sister Walden. Some things actually turn in obedience because when you turn, you did it in faith. So, honey, some of you already have miracles that just happened. That just happened. Let's give him another hand before we see it. Praise God. I'm going to pick on the singles a little bit, too. We talk about those looking for a good husband and praying. If that's the will of God, then they go to direction. But if you get your mind on God, God will honor it. I had a friend in Houston before I got married. She was single. She's older than me, and she was like, Sister Flo, I've been waiting for years for God to bring me a husband, and I've been praying. I don't know what's going on. I said, what is God going to have? She said, what is God going to have to do? And she was sarcastic. And even our sarcasm, God works with us. She said, is he going to have to bring him from Australia? And I'll never forget when she said that. How humorous. Within that year, she met a missionary son from Australia, and they got married. My best friend in college, she went to another UPC church, and she just loved God, and she always wanted to get married. She was talking about marriage, and things were just not working out, and so she just got busy with the burden for souls. We have outreach in this church, right? Everyone should be involved in outreach. We're all witnesses. Praise God. And so she said, I want to teach Bible studies. So here it is at the time. I think LSU had about 30,000 students. She printed a bunch of flyers and posted it on campus, inviting people to Bible study. Now, the night they had service, I was off. But the night that I had church service at my church, they was off. So she had her Bible study on the night midweek. They were off. And I'll never forget it. When I came back, I was like, Lisa, how did it go? Who showed up? And she was quite disappointed because she said, only one person showed up. And I said, that's okay. God rejoices over one soul. That's fine. That's the start. It's the beginning. Well, guess what? That one person that showed up, God got a hold of him in that Bible study. He went to church, got baptized in Jesus' name, got filled with the Holy Ghost, became a UPCI licensed minister, and became her husband. So what happened, she was like Ruth. She started gleaning in the fields, and she met her Boaz. So young ladies, just glean in the work of God, and you don't know what God has for you. Hold on. Stay focused on him. And all the singles in the house said, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Help is on the way. You may be going through a struggle right now with a healing you need in your body. Amen. And God wants you to realize the manifestation of that power. If you need a healing, physical healing, any kind of healing, raise your hand. God is able to heal. I want the media team to help me with this first photo that I sent. I went to visit, I went to speak at a prayer rally Friday, a prayer breakfast Saturday, and a church service Sunday morning hosted by the same couple. And this young man here was one of the members of the church. And from what I understood, he was all excited, getting ready for the weekend events to help and be involved. And when I got there Friday night to the rally, the pastor and his wife said, I want you to come to the hospital with us and visit a young man in our church who is ill, and we want to pray for him. And sure enough, okay, so we went to pray for him. And the story was about midweek on Wednesday, all of a sudden he got ill. And the doctors attributed it to being something called a long COVID effect. He got sick. He got weak in his legs. All of a sudden he passed out. They took him to emergency. Next thing he knew, by that night, he was paralyzed from the waist down. So Saturday morning, we went to pray. And he wanted, I didn't even, that's my first time meeting him or at least realizing who he was. He wanted to take a picture with me. That's what you see in number one. And so when we prayed for him, all of a sudden, the pastor said, I see your big toe moving. He said, well, it's never done that before. And so sometimes when God touches your body, it could be the beginning of a healing. But as you continue to trust and have faith, that healing will manifest, but yet it's supernatural because it's something the doctors cannot do. And the doctors had already tried everything and said that nothing has worked, and they were going to try that last thing, I think that Friday or whatever, and they said he'd never be able to walk again. But whose report will we believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. And so that Sunday we were sitting at lunch. The pastor said, oh, there's a text from Jordan. And Jordan would text, I feel a little tingling in that, in one of my legs. So God was doing a work. Here it is. The doctor said he'd never be able to walk again. And within a 2 weeks period, let me tell you what happened. I didn't even have Jordan's contact information. I didn't know he had mine, but on Messenger, I saw this pop up. It was one photo in a collage. Jordan sent this to me. And he says, Shaw, this is what happened. Remember, I asked to take a picture with you. And there I am. He said, well, let me tell you. The doctor said I'd never be able to walk again. In picture number two, they rolled me in church in a wheelchair the first week I got out of the hospital. In picture number three, when I went to church, he said that I walked in church with a walker. And in picture number four, he said, look, I'm with a cane. And in 2 weeks, he said, I'm walking and running in the church. God did a miracle. If you need a healing right now, reach out by the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the spirit of Jesus. I decree and declare healing according to the will of God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus was predestined that he would be the firstborn of many. Amen. God wants us to be sons of God. We go through battles, and there has been an attack. A lot of times we think ministry don't go through a lot because, oh, they're in ministry, they're strong. Oh, no. They're even a greater target of attack. Just like you see me elevated on this platform, if a shooter came in, I would probably be the first target if he just wanted to shoot folks. Why? Because they have that responsibility and that platform of authority. A lot of times they suffer the greatest attack because if they influence many people, the enemy tries to take them out. And so being in prayer ministry, we get all kinds of requests. And directly, you know, ministers or leaders that reach out to me. And I remember a few years ago, about 3-4 years ago, at one particular time, it seems like it was such an influx of text messages and calls and requests. The ministry was under attack, and it was just something else. And that's a bit unusual all at one time, and you wonder what's going on. Then someone sent me a picture that they were having the first occultic conference in America, and it was the largest, and it was in a place called Scottsdale, Arizona, and they were meeting and praying and fasting against the ministry, and someone sent me that advertisement, and I said, oh, no, not on my watch. You got to get to that point and say, oh, no, not in my house, not in my watch, not with my children, not with my family, not with my life. There's a warfare, and we're in a battle. So I posted on Facebook, we had more than 230,000 views and people to reply that they were praying and fasting against it. It was just the most horrible thing. And it was this group called SatanCon. And so we saw, we felt the difference. We felt that God was doing something. The next year, they decided to meet in Boston, Massachusetts, and the district superintendent there, Bishop Jay Sternerman, was aware of it, and other apostolic churches, they gathered together and did a prayer walk before they even got there. And you have to do something. Don't just let the devil come in your house and take over? You got to do something. God honors prayer and fasting. And so they were intentional. They were on the offense, and they went there and prayed and fast. Let me tell you what happened. When they gathered, and that group dresses up in all kinds of costumes in any way. They worship the devil. They call themselves Satan Con. So they did that. And let me tell you what happened. It was other Christian groups that came out and prayed as well. During the course of that event, let me tell you what happened. They said by the last day, something began to move in that spot. It started when 23 of them taking off their costumes and converting to Christianity. Before it was all over with, they said it was over 90 of them that had left that group and converted. Praise God. But let me tell you what power and authority that you have. I remember, and it's so funny because when they had that meeting, I forgot about them. But all of a sudden, we started getting an influx of a request that the ministry was under attack. And then I looked it up and I said, oh my goodness, that time of a year again, March, April, is there is Satan calm? What are they up to? And sure enough, and so that happened. And so for the following year, I said, I'm going to get an early start. In December, I went on the internet to see the exact date that they'd be holding their SatanCon conference, which is usually in the spring around that time. And I'm telling you, let me tell you, the power and the authority of a united prayer. This is what I read on the internet. It said that they announced that December that the Satanic Temple said that they would not hold its third SatanCon conference this year because of the theocracy and the opposition from the Christians. They shut it down. Now, you know what? I believe God has something particular for this church because the enemy has tried to attack you. The enemy has tried to attack many of you. What would be the chances that this week, I was somewhere this past last week, and there was a television on, and I mean, I hadn't really just kept up with everything, and that same group, SatanCon, was on the world news, and I thought, I got to stop and look at this. God did such a work with that. What's going on right now is this big old thing that's going on with the leader. They're all divided and scattered, and it's a big mess and all kinds of legal stuff. God has shut it down. Let God arise and the enemy be scattered. God's going to shut some things down that's come against you in this church, in your lives, in your family. Even in the workplace, some of you have been attacked in school, on your job, in your family, in your community, spiritual forces, human spirits. But everyone, I want you to say, shut it down. My goodness, my time is going away, and I need to kind of wind it up. But let me tell you the power of prayer as you continue to pray. There's this church in Danvers, Massachusetts. We were having a huge World Network of Prayer conference, and we rented a convention center that would hold about 1,000 people. And a few years ago, Brother Stone King was our speaker. The pastor who was hosting the event contacted us. And this pastor, an engineer, computer science, just brilliant, his name's Brother Binkley. He called us before we got there. He said, we need help. Send the prayer team over. He said, we've been under demonic attack. And he said, I'm not much one to dwell into all that supernatural stuff. At one point, I didn't even, you know, all the demonic forces. I thought it was just a little bit of, you know, upbeat talking about. But he said, I've seen it for myself. We're under attack. He said, I've had a heart attack. Prayer coordinator got in a wreck in the hospital. My families are under attack. And one day I was in church, I literally see a dark spirit walking around. He said, this is real. And so I said, okay, we're going to bring a team early. Danvers is next to Salem. And we know about the witches and the witch trial. And so I started doing research. We do research of the type of strongholds so we know what to pull down. I couldn't believe it. There was this documentary from 60 Minutes. We're saying at that time, it faces, and they call it ghosts, in the lamppost. And all of this was on the news, just out in public. And I thought, oh my goodness, oh no, they may see ghosts, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to show up now. You have power, and greater is he that is within you than he that was in the world. To enter, to go quickly. We took a group. We prayed. We fasted. We pulled down strongholds. I'll never forget it. The power of God moved. There was a witch that even showed up at the conference, sat in the back, tried to cast spells. Brother Stone King and others saw it. We began to just worship. All of a sudden, that witch ran out, and Brother Stone King said, I felt when something broke. But let me tell you what happened. When the prayer and the fasting was done, Sister Charday, and the prayer and the fasting that you all are doing here, God is honoring it. God is driving out spirits of darkness because the light is coming in. Let me tell you what happened. Pastor Walden, 6 months later, that same pastor called. Now, mind you, he had told us that they, the church, was under severe attack. They had about 80 people in that church, but they had lost a lot. And I think they were down to 40 or 30. Well, that year, prior to when we came, not one person had received the Holy Ghost. That year, prior to when the prayer and the fasting went forth, not one person had got baptized in Jesus' name. After the prayer and the power and taking dominion, realize who we are in Christ, he called us after 6 months, and he said in 6 months, 30 people have got baptized in Jesus' name. People came to church. The church was full. People were getting the Holy Ghost. There was revival and harvest, and I feel that's what God's doing here. Yesterday, I saw souls in the spirit coming through that door. I want you to rejoice and thank God for that. I need to move on. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 53, 8 and through 10 talks about who shall declare this generation. He will prolong his days, and we will still be in the earth, praise God, through this, you and me. And he talks about the sons of God. I want the media team to pick up, to show me, email to the second set of pictures. We will go through storms of life. This was a natural storm right here. I want to highlight. My elderly prayer partner, she's like a spiritual mother. She's 86 years old. We've been prayer partners for 30 years. And there's another lady who's like a sister as well. She's in her 70s, early 70s. And we've been prayer partners 25 years. All three of us have been prayer partners. So we touch and agree, and we pray on a consistent basis for the world, for the ministry, for churches, for needs. Well, here it is. One day is what happened. How many of you feel like you're going through a spiritual storm right now? You know, God will preserve you. He will keep you. This was a natural one, but in a sense, it's spiritual too. And I felt to share this in this meeting too. Well, what happened when it was Friday near the break of dawn in January, a Category 3 hurricane, storm winds, and tornadoes came through an area called Deer Park, which is right outside of Houston. And it affected Pasadena, Deer Park, Houston area. On that day, she looked outside and saw a wall of water. But she said it was interesting. A tornado was about to come. The winds were blowing. But when she looked outside, she saw two lights suspended in midair like globes of light. And then all of a sudden, those lights came on the inside of the house. They were against the wall. I don't know if it was just a miracle sign or wonder that divine protection would be there, or they were actually angels in that form. And then all of a sudden, she started crying out, Jesus, Jesus, you control the wind. Peace be still. And she had her Bible. Next picture. Next picture, media team. Phyllis Street. I got these pictures off the internet. The world news, and guess what? She lives on Phyllis Street. Devastation when it came through. The news reported there were houses leveled to the ground. The house across the street from her was leveled to the ground, one next door. And just every house on that street and many houses in that neighborhood got severe damage. Next picture. And that's when they started renovations, started cleanup. Next picture. That's Jean. That same Bible that she had during that time is sitting on the table. Next picture. Praise God. Hold it there for a minute. And I want to tell you about the power of prayer and the storm. You remember Jesus said, "Peace, be still." The three Hebrew children were in the fire. Well, when that storm came through, and when she saw those lights and called on the name of Jesus, and you saw the devastation, like I said, there were a house across the street level to the ground and next to her. But what happened when you pray? I want to show you what happened to Jean's house. Next picture. It blew the insurance company away. There was not a shingle that came off the roof. There was not a brick dislodged. There was not even a twig in the yard. God is going to keep you in the storms. He is a miracle worker. There is nothing too hard for him to do. I'm going to move on quickly. My time is up. Let's just go to the next set of pictures because my time is moving on. But I want you to understand the power of God and his word. Let me tell you about dominion power. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Matthew 16, 18, 19 says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. When Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over some of the power, all of the power of the enemy." It's time to get Satan off of your back and put him under your feet. So when you step into that level of sons of God, not only do you have power over the enemy, dominion is the manifested power of God begins to flow. It's dominion prayer, praying and operating from dominion authority in the spirit that God gives you as sons of God. When you get into prayer, when you consecrate yourself, when you submit yourself to God and the spiritual authority of this church, all of it works together. You begin to move to that level of becoming a son of God, of true inheritance. He begins to release his dominion power. And some battles you fight, you need dominion power. Jesus even said, "This kind cometh not out but prayer and fasting." You're not going to make it unless you become closer to God and allow that dominion power to come, because you're going to find yourself defeatless at times when you go through certain battles that you can't handle. And so God wants to release this. God wants you to have a greater understanding. And I'm going to begin to close with a couple of these examples. Praise God. But before I even go there, God can do anything. He wants to reach souls. But he's looking for a yes. You can hear this message, and it can go in one ear and come out the other. Jesus talks about being hearers, not just being hearers of the word, but being doers. I'm telling you. I want someone to say, "Yes, Lord." Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, "Yes, Lord." There was this minister by the name of J.J. Bourne, B-O-U-R-N-E. He went through a trial. He suffered a stroke. But let me tell you the power of the yes. God is wanting someone to say yes today. "I surrender all. I want everything you have for me. I realize your value in me." 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. So Brother J.J. Bourne, an older minister, I think by that time he was in 60s or 70s, he ministered at an annual event on a strategic meeting on revival and evangelism that I've attended in the past, and I heard him tell his own testimony. He suffered a stroke, living in the Houston area. God promised him healing. How many of you, God's promised you some things? He's not a man that he should lie. And when the praise and worship begins to sing, that song you all were singing earlier, praise God, that worship song, amen, I want you all to sing that again, and I want everyone to come to the altar because God's going to move in a unique way. And so God had promised him healing pretty much, letting him know, if you believe, then I will heal you. And so from the bottom of his heart and the depths of his soul, there was a yes in there, apparently. Now, when Brother Bourne suffered this stroke, his thinking capacity was fine, but his speech and his language center was basically gone. It had been affected severely. Doctors said that he would never be able to fully speak again, nor gain full strength. He was in a wheelchair. He wasn't able to walk. And in the aftermath of the stroke, like doctors said, he would never have full speech, he was only able to say one word. And he wanted to say more, but every time he opened his mouth, only one word came out. And that word was yes. Can you believe it? And so when he would have conversation, everything was just a yes, amen. And so if anybody asked him anything, it was a yes. He had that condition for about a year and a half. Some of you might have been waiting and praying and believing. One afternoon, he received a phone call, and he happened to be in the room in his wheelchair, had his cell phone, and he answered it. And when he opened his mouth, he said, yes. It had been a pastor. He lived in Houston from New Orleans, Louisiana, who hadn't spoke to him for a while. He just heard he was under the weather, but he didn't know the severity of his condition. He said, how are you, Brother J.J.? And are you feeling okay? And Brother J.J. said, he said, well, good. You've been on my mind. I want you to come and preach a revival. And Brother J.J. said, and he said, well, good. How about you come next weekend? And Brother J.J. said, right about that time, Brother J.J.'s wife walked in the room and noticed that someone was on the phone. She grabbed the phone. And that pastor explained what they were talking about. And she said, oh, my Lord, do you know what's going on in his condition? Then the older son walked in, and the mom said, you know what, Dad is committed to go to this, and you know his condition? And the son said, Mom, you know Dad is not going to back down. You might as well let me pick him up, put him in that wheelchair, and drive him over to New Orleans and let him speak. And so sure enough, they made the arrangements, knowing he was in that condition. But let me tell you about the power of a promise and the power of a yes. God is waiting for some of you to say, yes, I want to draw closer, become a son of God. Yes, I believe in your promise. Yes to anything God's been dealing with you. Praise God. And realizing that you're a son of God. You're evolving into that level of dominion, power, and authority. And so they drove him there. And he was in a wheelchair. And they had the praise and the worship service, and it was time for Brother J.J. Bourne to speak. They rolled him up right there. And in his natural profession, he worked for a high-level construction company. I think he owned it. And he would go out there and work and build and nail, and he was doing all that even in his older age. And now here it is. He's in a wheelchair. And so they roll him in front. And let me tell you, the place was packed. There were even three Catholic nuns sitting in the back, and they gave Brother J.J. the microphone, and when he opened his mouth just as loud as he could speak it, he said, yes. Someone say it again, yes. And as soon as he said yes, the Spirit of God swept in the place. The three Catholic nuns ran from the back, fell on the floor in the altar, and they fell out speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, the power of a yes. And he was totally healed. He got up out of that wheelchair. He went back to work. And could it be that you're not waiting on God? God's waiting on you. The power of a yes. So through this last testimony, I want to share how God is doing miracles. And just be seated just a minute. Because just right here, God is doing something. And even before we go there, take away those pictures. And the last set of pictures, email 4, I want to show that. Then I'm going to show this last. Praise God. Because God is about to totally shut some things. Not those go all the way back, go to the next when they have to go forward. We're going to go back right there. We've heard of the father of Pentecost, Azusa Street, William J. Seymour. This is the season we're living in, Pastor. Things that seem to be dead. Promises that seem to be dead. Situations that seem to be just no hope. Praise God. When we had general conference in Long Beach, we did prayer walks and prayer drives there, Los Angeles, Azusa Street. There was a group that went to visit and just as to tour the grave of William J. Seymour, Azusa Street, founder. Look at the headstone. Next picture. Notice the difference? His grave is the only grave with green grass around it. That's a sign. That's a wonder. Why? Is God letting us know, like it said about Israel, the desert shall blossom as a rose. Then we shall know we're in the end time. God is raising up great people. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now go back to the next pictures, and that's the last example I'm going to give. Go all the way back to that first set of pictures that we had. I want to share, and I feel in the spirit, God is about to shut some things down and to open some things up. Not that picture, but the Switzerland one before you. Yes, right there. A few years ago, we had partnered with AYC Youth Ministries to go on a mission trip. But before we even did that, we had an invitation from the missionary, the Holzman, to go and help them do prayer walks, prayer drives, and so forth. And for the first year we attempted to go, we were working with the missionaries there, and because of a schedule conflict, we couldn't go. And the next year, because of dates, and then all of a sudden COVID came on the scene, and we couldn't go because of that. And 2 years, we waited. And then when COVID began to lift, all of a sudden we got an invitation from Brother Joshua Carson, because he was the youth ministry's leader at the time. They were going to go there and take an AYC trip. But all of a sudden, there was a resurgence of COVID, and we couldn't go. And so they closed the borders again. And then when they opened them up a few months, they had already canceled that trip because of circumstances. Then Brother Charles Robinette reached out to us. He said, Sister Shaw, things are opening up again. It's been over 2 years. All of the ministry is going to meet at this location. You could do prayer evangelism training. We could do this and that. We were planning. But all of a sudden, another resurgence of COVID. They had to shut the borders down again. And so it was amazing. God's never too early, never too late, but right on time. Well, let me tell you, we went to do prayer walks. God wants you to claim the territory. What's in Athens, what's in Winterville, what's all over the place, what's in Georgia, to make even a global impact. And so we went to the United Nations and we prayed over there. That's the group. Next picture. We went to the park. Now, we went to a place called CERN. And half of my family, they're professionals, either engineers or science. And we went to a place called CERN. And some of you might have heard about it, the God particle, and doing research. But what's happening, there's a cave that has a Hadron Collider that they're working with, that they're believing that it's a portal, that evil is coming through there to impact this world. I don't have time to go through it. And science and technology is good. I believe in science and technology to advance us. I'm in the field of science. But if you notice that emblem, it has three sixes intertwined. And in some places, you could even see it more vivid when it's covered. So we went there to pray against any evil impacting the area in the world. Next picture. We were in church that Sunday, and I want us to stand because I'm ending right here. And I want praise and worship singers to come up and to pray, to sing that last song you were singing, that praise and worship when it's time to start. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because God's going to bring victory, and I want at that point afterwards. So we prayed. We had church service that Sunday. Eight people got the Holy Ghost. There was a doctor who was a cardiologist, first time in a Pentecostal church, received the Holy Ghost. And she operates to heal hearts, but God healed her heart that day. She was so excited. She stayed. We had an advanced prayer service just for the prayer team. Because we were going to go to strategic gateways and pray. Praise God. Amen. And I had some other pictures to show, but it wasn't meant to show that, praise God, of pulling down strongholds and how the power of God works. I'm just showing this last one as an example in this trip. But anyway, and so after, but let me tell you the power of God. You remember we had been trying to go to Switzerland. What, 4 years now? And the doors seemingly closed. And some things in your life you've been praying for, it seems like doors have closed. Even some things perhaps for the church, in your family. God has a timing. He has a purpose. Lo and behold, little did I know, or we knew, or even the group knew, I have a younger brother named Levi. He has been working for Honeywell for years. He has a degree in mechanical engineering. He got a job in Germany, had been living there 6 years over a team of engineers working with Lufthansa project. Well, get this now. They decided to promote Levi and to move him right outside of Geneva, Switzerland, right in the area. And by the time everything worked out, he moved in August. The team finally took our trip in September, the very next month. So it was in order, since his sister was in town, is to invite him to church, to just come and see me, and my other sister was there too. But what the team didn't know at the time, my younger brother had been backslid for 25 years. He came to church that morning. The power of God moved, and there were men that prayed with him. And Levi prayed through to the Holy Ghost. Next picture. Show the next picture. That's God's bringing prodigals in. He's gonna come right on time. Now, before you go, I want you think that's something to shout about. God's bringing your prodigal in. About to drive every devil away. Like Bishop Henry said, there's been an attack. I want you to show the next picture. Okay, the next picture. The men, we prayed. We had a prayer meeting after that church service. It was like a business meeting because in Switzerland, they had another place called the Gothic Tunnel. And in that tunnel, they were doing witchcraft and evil stuff.
Your life, your body, this church, in different areas.
They built a railway from the top to the bottom. And when they dedicated it, they even had city officials there and state officials. You can even find it on the internet. They set up the goddess Shiva. And they did something, Pastor. They did something called the devil's dance. My goodness, some of you are letting the devil dance and do the devil dance in your house and taking over. God wants you to be a son of God and have that authority. And they did that thing so that Sunday we prayed in advance before we even went in that tunnel. The Holy Ghost fell and we did the Holy Ghost dance, believing that God was going to do something. And so Monday we set out on the bus to go to the tunnel. We had our prayer agenda. But with Sunday, when we had prayed, Sister Chardet, we felt something broke when we prayed against that spirit in the Gothic tunnel and the evil activity from a central place. And we felt that Sunday afternoon something broke. And so when we were going through there Monday and driving, and then that Tuesday, all of a sudden, when we were on the railway, one of the team members asked the pastor, "Pastor, we're on the railway riding. Tell us when we get close to that spot where they're doing that evil activity and prayers so we'll know when each of us needs to pray our prayer point." All of a sudden, the pastor got up. He said, "Oh my goodness, I've been so busy trying to get the group together. I forgot to tell you. Didn't you hear it on the news? Didn't you hear it on the news? It's all over Switzerland." And he said, when he read it and heard it, it happened at the exact time we felt something broke when we were praying. The news reported, the pastor said, when we keep going, we're not going to reach that spot in the tunnel where they're doing that activity. This railway is going to stop short and we're going to have to get off. And he said, the reason why, because it's all over the news in Switzerland. All of a sudden, and it was at the same time we prayed, he said, all of a sudden the news reported the tunnel started cracking and they had to shut it down. God's about, woo, he's about to shut down the evil in your house. Woo, I call you up. Woo.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.